Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. Today, we are going to be talking about a topic that not so many people really want to say that they have much information about, nor that they feel they have much control, or they still feel that everything is taken out of their realm, there's nothing they can do about this. And what we're going to be talking about today is being an advocate for your family member and how to be able to get something done when you see things just aren't right. And even still, after a period of time, you say, I'm going to make a change, make a stand. My guest today is Robin Gentry McGee. She's the founder and CEO of Functional Formularies, which she will be telling us her story about how she took a stand with her father after he had a fall, how she found that things just weren't right, further, how she developed a product that would help him, and after his passing, how she brought that product to the market so that other people will be able to benefit from not only her story and how she went through the process, but also now how they can benefit from the product to help themselves with the quality of life after a brain injury or any type of instance health concern that you may have in which you need tube feeding. It is really important to say we're all given these passages in life, and while we don't want to say, oh gosh, you know, this is really devastating, what can I get from it? Eventually, over time, we find out that look how far and how much Robin has been able to help her father, how she has helped the family, given them more time. She helped her father with quality of life, and now she's able to give back to others in a way so that they can also enjoy a better quality of life. Today, my guests are Robin Gentry McGee, founder and CEO of Functional Formularies, Tori Halvis. She has an MS, an RDN. She's a nutrition communication specialist at Functional Formularies. And we will also be talking about the book, A Turn for the Worse, which Robin has authored. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you both on the air today. And I think this will be a wonderful show that so many people just really have not even wanted to discuss. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Robin and Tori, don't you think that people have kind of resigned themselves, I think, when people are having really significant health concerns and people just kind of like stand in the back and let the script play out in front of them? They don't participate. They just say, everybody else knows better. I'm just going to stand back. Sometimes in face of fear, sometimes in face of not having control, or sometimes also in not knowing what to do, don't you think?
Absolutely. What I saw over and over again when I was with my father during the process, which, you know, being thrown into that situation, and most people are, it's very paralyzing. And also, many people are afraid to ask questions. What I saw a lot within my own family dynamics, especially older generations, mm-hmm. they believe that the doctor is always right and there's no wiggle room, there's no room for even asking questions. And so I think there's a lot of layers and a lot of components that go into the situation, which ultimately leaves people powerless and people are in shock, and most of the time, it's all they can do to keep their head above water and to be present for their loved ones, and trying to even research or figure out what questions they may need to ask if they feel something's not right. It's just overwhelming, and it's just not only easier, but many times for self-preservation, it's necessary to go down that road, I believe.
You know, I've worked so much with clients who felt they were at the point of, there was a tipping point. It was either they were going to find a way to get themselves better, or they were at that point where there was a point of what they called no return. Mm-hmm. And I, granted, being in healthcare for over 45 years, I also do a lot of patient advocate work and end-of-life care. And what I've found is that many times we see this play out, but we just don't know how to interact. I know for myself, I look back on a situation in the early 90s when my grandmother was not doing well in the hospital, and I had just started naturopathic school, and I went to see her at the hospital, and I'm going, all of this does not make sense. There's no reason that you need to do brain shocking therapy 5 and 6 times on a 98-year-old woman just because she's aggravated because she's in a nursing home. And I look at it, and in that venue, you know, I was really advocating on her best behalf. I was doing everything I possibly could until finally I was just taken out by the police and said, don't come back.
Oh,
and, you know, a lot of that does happen, and there's a lot of different situations. And then I think back on, you know, my mother's situation when she needed some surgery, you know, I had to take her to a different state to be able to get her the help where they were more amenable to what was going on with her. And even still, I looked, and that was in the years 2000s around there. And then I look back on just a few years ago where I was also helping another woman. She came out of the hospital, and she said, I don't know why I called you. I found you on the Internet. And we all know how vast the Internet is. How is somebody going to find you on the Internet these days? And she said, I just got out of the hospital, and I need you to help me. She couldn't say what kind of help she needed or didn't need. And after 5 days of 10 hours a day, it finally came down to she had a broken heart, which she really did. It was heart failure. But she said she had a broken heart. She wanted a new one. And we had gone to the doctor, and the transplant doctor, she says, I want to go see him. So we went to see the transplant doctor, and a famous doctor from Paris. And he looked right at me, and he said, I would suggest that she enjoys today. And she looked right at me, and she says, is today my last day? And I said, not today, not today. So we drove around, and we enjoyed all the places and burned all of her oxygen tanks, you know, in 2 hours. And she went home and into the hospital the next day and did pass away. But she'd gotten to that point of acceptance. So whether we're stepping in and we're giving them rescue medicines, or we're stepping in and helping them with surgeries, or in your case, giving them nutrition, which is medicine, or we're just there and giving them compassion and caring, I think really all of that entity is what you helped your family with. It was what I do. But also to understand, patients don't always want to be saved. Patients don't always want to be rescued. But it's not up to us to decide, but it is up to us to present it. And I think that's what you share with others, is that, you know, to be able to be present and do what you can.
Absolutely.
Can you share a little bit about your story, Robin? Because I think it's very telling also the conflict that you go along the way, and we find it quite often.
Certainly. So I'll try and – it's a very long story, but essentially when my father first suffered a traumatic brain injury – he was given very little time to live and no hope. Actually, he was on life support, and the doctor said that he probably wouldn't. Well, first, let me back up. He underwent emergency surgery. There was a small chance very small chance that he would even survive the surgery, which he did, and then he was on life support. So he lingered in a coma for many weeks, and we were being advised to pull the plug, that if he were to regain consciousness, that he would probably be a vegetable. And, you know, for someone to tell you that about anyone that you love, that's, and I think, you know, especially that's a sudden, you know, I've had my, you know, other people pass who it's been a long, drawn-out illness, and you know, you're kind of prepared for it, but for something so sudden and to have to make that decision, which we were prepared to do, but I wanted personally to understand if there were any other options. I mean, my entire life, I've, you know, why? I have to know why. Tell me why, and let me figure out if that makes sense to me based on my own research. And so I started looking around and looking back over the years of the work that I've done with nutrition and alternative medicine, and I remembered a conversation that I had with my acupuncturist many years before. We were talking about emergency points in Chinese medicine, and for whatever reason, that came back into my mind, and I phoned her, and I said, so, you know, emergency points, which are typically when faints, you use those points for them to regain consciousness, and I asked if this is, you know, also true of a coma. And she said, yes, there's actually a lot of research, peer-reviewed research of Chinese medicine, acupuncture, and bringing patients out of comas. So I requested an acupuncturist to be brought into the hospital to see if we could, if this would work, and we were denied. It was against hospital policy to allow an acupuncturist in, which I thought was totally amazing, considering they thought he was dying anyway, and it was just a huge liability factor that they perceived for themselves, even though we were willing to sign any documents stating they weren't liable. So,
and that's still valid today. I mean, many, many places, it's still very valid.
Nothing's changed. In fact, it's only gotten worse,
changed.
I believe, that was 2005.
Right.
And so I went to see my acupuncturist and ask her to show me the points. And I was going to do it myself. But, you know, I wasn't going to give up until I had tried this. And but the problem was my father was across from the nurse's station in ICU, and it was a room that was all glass. So going into it, I knew that the chances of, number one, me doing it correctly, I'm not an acupuncturist, or getting thrown out of the hospital were great, but I was willing to do it. But before I began this, she suggested that we try more of a reflexology, still using the emergency points.
Right.
And her advice was to do it 5 minutes every hour for 3 to 4 days to see if we could elicit any response. And after the third day, my father came out of a coma. And so that then began, you know, another long road of getting off the life support, getting off the ventilator. He was still very, very sick with a very severe brain injury. And many months went by. He actually went through rehab. He exceeded all expectations when the doctor, we were lucky enough to find one doc who was a bit of a rebel, and they use something called Glasgow Coma Scale to determine outcomes with patients who are comatose. And although my dad was out of a coma, he was still, you know, he was still like right in the between times most of the time. And so they decided to take a chance, and they took him into Rehab Institute of Michigan. And he did great. He was walking on parallel bars when he came out. He was there for, I believe, 108 days. And the plan was for him to come home and go into outpatient rehab 3 times a week. And we all had very high hopes that he would eventually get back to, if not the life he had, at least you know, a very good quality of life, considering this the injury that he had. But unfortunately, after he was home for not even a week, he began acting erratically, and I lived in a different state than my parents. I wasn't present for this, but my mom called the doc, and they asked her to bring him to the emergency room, which wasn't the rehab institute. It was just a local hospital, and he had a UTI, which, as I found out, especially in older people, when they have urinary mm-hmm. tract infections, they become very aggressive.
Agitated, yes, very.
And so what they did at this emergency room, they started treating him for the urinary tract infection, not taking into consideration that he had a brain injury. So they began sedating him.
Right.
And he was in the hospital. After 7 days, I spoke with my mother daily, and he wasn't getting any better at all. And he was just what she believed to be sedated most of the time. And I started researching the meds they were giving him, and they mm-hmm. had him on within the 7 to 10 day period. They had him on about 7 different medications. Each time they would find it would send him into a downward spiral, and they would change to something else. So in researching the meds they were giving him, I found that 2 were contraindicated for traumatic brain injury, so much so that they could lead to neuroleptic malignant syndrome, which can ultimately cause death in brain-injured patients. So, you know, I begged the doctors to get him off medication. I ended up going. After 7 days, I went to Michigan where he was in the hospital. And when I walked into his hospital room, it was as he had never been through rehab. It was like walking in, other than all hooked up to all the machines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the day after his brain injury. So in speaking to the doctors, they said that they weren't treating him for a brain injury. They were treating him for urinary tract infection. So sadly, they didn't feel they had to take into account the brain injury. So I called his neurologist, and he basically said to bring him back to the rehab center as soon as possible, immediately, and that he should never have been given the medication. So that set my father's recovery back immensely, and after, I don't know, it was maybe 30, 60 days, they released him from the rehab because they weren't able to get him back to his baseline. And my mom then decided to move him to Ohio, which is the state that I live in, so he could be closer to family, which then gave me the opportunity to be closer to him on a daily basis. And one of the things that I then began looking, because I still wasn't giving up, you know, I still
mm-hmm.
thought even though there's nothing they can do for him in rehab, there must be other things that can be done for brain injury in the brain. And I found many things. And then one of the big things, I was sitting by his bedside one day, and I just happened to pick up the can of commercial formula they were pouring into his feeding tube, and I read the ingredients, and the first 5 ingredients were some form of sugar. And,
right.
you know, I said to my mom, this is, how can we expect him to heal? How can we expect anything to happen when there is nothing here to support not only his physical body, but most importantly, the healing of his brain. And I thought it would be easy to just find a healthy formula, you know, as with everyone who's never been down the road of having to the least bit of interest in a feeding tube or feeding tube formulas.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be simple to find a healthy formula. And I began the search. I looked everywhere all over the world. I spoke with my dogs, went to health food stores, and I could find nothing. So I then decided that I needed to try and create something for my dad, and I did. And after a lot of research and a lot of experimentation, I put together a formula that had 17 organic ingredients and a lot of nutrients for the brain. And I also, he had begun to experience many other conditions because of being in a coma for so long and the brain injury. So I started studying food as medicine, and I chose foods with very specific healing properties specific to the conditions that he was experiencing. So every ingredient had a very specific reason for being there. And after finally figuring all of this out and then getting it thin enough to go through a feeding tube with no particulate matter, we began giving him the formula, and within 6 weeks he was a different person, so much so that his doctor, who that he had begun seeing in Ohio, phoned me to say it was a miracle what he had done for my father. Mm-hmm. And my response was, it's not a miracle, it's simply nutrition, something that we've missed the boat on in this country for 50 or 60 years. So that is how I ended up. I started getting a lot of requests, and in the beginning, what I wanted to do after this experience, I had a restaurant that I just closed, actually, because I didn't want to work that hard. I laugh now, haha. see the work that I'm cast in now, but I went back to school and studied. I did a lot of food as medicine courses, healing with foods, and I wanted to work then as a patient advocate and perhaps offer people a different way if they were interested, because what I saw in hospitals and rehab centers were so much suffering, and it's just as we spoke about, people are paralyzed. They don't know right. The questions to ask. They're overwhelmed. Right. But within the 2 or 3 years I was studying and still making my father's formula, I began getting a lot of requests for this formula. So I then, you know, thought this really is something that needs to be available. And I set out about trying to commercialize the formula. And that took another 8 years. I was actually trying to take it from something that I made in my kitchen to a shelf-stable formula with a 2-year shelf life, keeping the integrity of the organic ingredients. It took 8 years to do that, but we launched onto the market about 3 years ago, and now we are sold all over the world, and we have thousands and thousands of patients who are seeing the same success with Liquid Hope as I did with my father.
You know, when people have injuries in which the patient no longer is able to communicate their needs, what really happens is that medications and the process of other people making those decisions for you, and also when you start getting on these medications, that really is the entity of your spirit. Your spirit really is then shifted all the way over into this entity where you really don't have control over even the energy of your body. You can't really even gather any energy for your body to keep your chi, as we would call it, going, your vital force going, because we all know medications will just suck that out of you, and all the testing takes it out of you, and the place in which you're in and the situation in which you're in, you really kind of very much start to lose yourself. I mean, many times when people get a diagnosis and then they start getting more treatments and therapies, you can see it. We always say it's a sparkle in their eyes is going, or the touch of their skin doesn't feel, they just don't feel like they have any life force in their body. And when you ask them something, they just don't even, it's just not even there anymore. So really, by giving nutrition, what you're giving is you're giving life force. So you're giving something into your body to be able to hold on to just keep it going. In other words, I call it, you're keeping the candle lit. The flame is staying lit. And, you know, no matter, sometimes, you know, when other outside forces want to tug it away, what you have done with your product is you've kind of kept that candle lit and saying, it's okay, we can keep going. So really, in essence of you calling it Liquid Hope, really what it is it's an internal chi, you know, the flame. You know, you're giving the flame back. You're giving energy back. You're giving oxygen back. You're giving nutrition back. And by doing that, it, you know, being made with your company, things that are made with love, things that are made with care, things that are made with the goodness of the earth, the energy, and the people who touch it and give it, is really what you're doing, is you're really putting that whole factor all together. If you've ever eaten at a restaurant and somebody will throw the dish down in front of you, you wonder why you don't feel good an hour later.
Absolutely.
It's because,
absolutely,
you know, it wasn't cared for, it wasn't prepared, it wasn't delivered, in the manner that was welcoming to you. But what you've really done with your product and your stories, you've kind of kept that quality going forward so that all of the energy will stay in the product, you know, and transfer to the person, which is really what they so desperately need. So I really think as we talk about the product, you know, is that we also have that concept that, you know, you're giving it with care and love, and you're giving it to keep their candle going. And I really think that's where the focus of your work has been.
Absolutely, yeah. And, it's, you know, it's been a labor of love. It's been the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, but it is, it's definitely grew from love and continues to. We get hundreds of emails and photos, messages pop up on our Facebook page. We're so removed. I'm so removed from many of our customers. Now, when I first started doing this alone, I had direct contact with all of my customers. I knew who they were. I knew their story. It was, you know, they became a part of my family. But we've grown so immensely that we have over 100 distributors now, which are, you know, kind of the middlemen between my company and the end user. So I don't know who most of these people are, but I do know many of them now from just the letters and photos that they send. And the message is always the same. It's always, thank you so much for this amazing product, my love. You know, I mean, they're so thrilled to have something like this. And we work with very critically ill people many times, and we've had, sadly, many patients that have died. But we always receive a phone call or a email from the families letting us know how much they appreciate Liquid Hope and how they feel that it really contributed to the quality of life of their loved ones. So, you know, it's that keeps, personally, that keeps me going down this very hard.
Are you feeling despair or overwhelmed by your health or everyday life situations? Do you know what questions to ask and how to get help? Don't go it alone. Ask for help. Dr. Jeanette offers compassionate and comprehensive advocate support for health challenges. To download her free report, How to Get the Healthcare You Deserve, go to her website, www.drjeanettewellness.com. Anyone who downloads the information tonight will receive a complimentary 15-minute personal needs analysis consult with Dr. Gallagher for questions and answers. That website again for the free report download and free consult is www.drjeanettewellness.com. Just reach out and ask for help.
So true is that we understand is that, you know, a lot of people have the concept of I'm going to go in and I'm going to change it around and they're going to get back how they were, you know, in quotes. And, you know, we think of that, we do that all through our life, you know. We do that at New Year's. We're going to get back how we used to be. We're going to get well. We're going to get healthy. And when we think about all of these topics, it really is, what are you expecting? And they'll always pop up a picture from when they were in their 20s or their 30s, you know.
Right.
I want that again. I want that again. I have to have that again. And then I think, you know, myself as an advocate always says, what is that that you want? And, you know, if you keep following it down the rabbit hole, they want to feel free. They want to feel loved. They want to feel cared for. They want to feel that they were important. They want to feel they were part of a family. They want to all of these different things. And if you look at it and bring that to light to them, even, you know, as we would say, as you may have turned the corner and now you have all these health conditions, you're loved and cared for by giving food and the energy. You're loved and cared for that people are willing to step up and hold on to things for you. You're free in that, you know, this body that we're in is just going to transition, but our spirit is still alive, as we would always say, and that to just know that, you know, by giving great food at the end of a, after a surgery or after a challenging health event or whatever that might be, it could just be giving more quality of time for someone to say goodbye. It could be something for someone just to finally get to your hospital room, or it could be that you might feel better to see a baby born or whatever that might be. But if you just need that extra little space of time, this may be something that will give you that little bit extra time. And we don't ever always know, you know, when, as you see on the commercial on TV, your heart attack is coming tomorrow. It's like, oh, okay, well, you know, we all have to understand that it could be any of us. It could be at any time. It could be any event. But all
Absolutely.
You're really doing is, you know, building that connection. I think that's what you do with your product is you're just building that connection to saying, let's hope we have a little more time. There's something I know you just want to say. There's something I would like to say, or there's something I would like to connect with you. And if that works, then it's really a wonderful, you know, it plays itself out.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So let's talk to Tori a little bit. Tori, can you share a little bit about the product itself?
Sure. So Liquid Hope, as Robin has mentioned, you know, was developed out of the love for her father and now continues to touch people all throughout the country and throughout the world. Liquid Hope is the world's first and only organic, whole foods, and plant-based feeding tube formula. And it can also be used as an oral meal replacement or, you know, as that opportunity for someone mm-hmm. who may be looking for a way to receive optimal nutrition in liquid form, which is really smooth and easy to swallow, which can be very helpful for people who have those concerns. So, you know, Liquid Hope is used with a lot of people who may have cancer, who may, you know, have ALS and are on feeding tubes. Also
right.
used a lot with pediatric patients. We are soon going to be launching a new pediatric formula called Nourish, which will be designed with the nutritional basis and the nutritional requirements in mind for children to help them meet all of their
mm-hmm.
needs. Both Liquid Hope and Nourish will offer complete nutrition for their respective age groups, meaning that it can be someone's sole source of nutrition for a long period of time. Where Liquid Hope and Nourish really stand apart from others that they may at times be categorized with is that, you know, they both do not contain any forms of added sugars, be that in the form of corn syrup, of table sugar, or of fruit juice concentrates, which can be so important for
right.
promoting, you know, good health and better health. Liquid Hope is also certified organic, and like I said earlier, contains all plant-based ingredients.
And I think it's so very important when people say, oh, sugar is no big deal. But if you are an elder and you're in really distress and you're taking a lot of prescription medications, you've got a digestive issue. And it is pretty much, it is not the best thing to be able to get something that could potentially cause further distress, such as sugar, such as gluten or wheat or something that just is not nourishing or dairy. A lot of people, you know, you don't always know what might bother them. You know how when you go out with someone and they're older and they'll say, oh, that just doesn't sit right with me anymore. Honey, I don't eat that, you know.
Okay.
So if we realize that going forward, you know, that just because they're sick, are you still going to give them all that stuff that we think they should be eating? You know, I think the biggest faux pas is that, you know, these people talk about leaky gut. I've talked about leaky gut for probably 30 years now. And if you go in and you look at an elder's GI tract, if you're doing dye on it, it's what's called cotton ball. And what that means is that it doesn't look like it, your GI system does not look like the pipe it's supposed to on x-rays and radiation studies. It looks like cotton. It just looks like a bunch of cotton balls in their stomach, and you're going, well, okay then. You know, it's because that leaky gut is what comes with age in many people. And to be able to give them something that is non-irritating, it's just giving you nourishment, it does not increase that potential for GI perforations. How many times have we heard that? I mean, I've even had a recent one of my relatives totally fine, and then all of a sudden I got a call. Oh, she's in the hospital. She's got a GI bleed. And I'm going, what? And she died within 24 hours. And, you know, there's so much of this around these days. So you don't want to stick your finger in that pot if you don't need to. So really about getting nutrition to these people is very, very important. And what you said also is if you look at the pouch itself, it is not large. It is not that they're eating this big soup bowl full of food, you know, and you're getting a lot of nutrition. There's a lot of protein in there. You have a lot of good things in there that are digested, and they don't need to be pre-digested by your stomach or, you know, things that would be offset and sort of like saying, oh, well, it's okay, your body digests that. Well, it's okay, my body doesn't digest that anymore. So you really put items in there that are able to be absorbed, are already ready to go, and they don't have to go through all of these chemical reactions. And I think that's so vitally important, you know. And we think about that even with elders. How much do they want to eat? If you go out with your grandmother, she might eat something that's about as big as a coffee cup, you know. Oh, honey, I'm not hungry, you know. So getting nutrition in this form is really taking all of those considerations into context about being, you know, absorbable, pre-digested more or less, you know, being concentrated and being, you know, non-irritating to the body.
Sure, sure. You know, I've heard the quote before, you know, everybody likes to say you are what you eat, but in some cases it's not you are what you eat, it's you are what you digest and absorb. And so when we can get these, you know, liquid forms, these, you know, that's where some of that digestion is kind of already done for you mechanically,
mm-hmm.
that can certainly be of help to an elderly person who is looking for greater nutrition. And I do like how you point out sugar and its contributions to inflammation and especially in supporting a healthy gut. We just talked last night, actually, here in the office about how Liquid Hope can really help support that gut microbiome
mm-hmm.
that's so crucial, you know, not only
right.
for digestive health, but also for immune health. And you know, that microbiome can certainly be linked to health in other parts of the body as well. So there's certainly some great aspects about the ingredients in Liquid Hope and what they can do, and then also the ingredients that aren't in Liquid Hope and those negative implications that they will have on the body.
It's all about, you know, if you are just being able to give what we say light to the body, you don't want to put it in overtaxing it. You just don't want to take the little energy you have and ask it to do other things that are really going to stress out the body, stress out the biological functions in the body, stress out the liver, the spleen, or the heart, or anything. And by doing this, you're just saying, I'm going to peacefully and quietly, I think of it as this way, peacefully and quietly just add a little energy to the system. And that's how I see your product. And, you know, when I look, I even have it here sitting next to me, and it's just, peaceful water flowing, peaceful water flowing is just what keeps coming to my mind. And I think of it that way because it's just there and you gather and then it passes on. And it's just so, it really has a peaceful essence to it. So I really think that, you know, Robin and Tori, that's very well said, is when you read the book and you see the product, you can actually feel that energy coming from that.
Oh, thank you. That's awesome.
That's great.
It's really, well, I think it's so important, too. And you know what, also, too, when we think about elders, I know so many people with dementia and Alzheimer's these days, to ask them to sit down and sit at a meal is almost beyond going to happen for many times. And when they end up in these nursing homes or these assisted care or wherever, and or even in their own home and just not well cared for, it really does not serve them in the best. And to even just say that if they had a packet of this for one whole day, you know, they could just put it in the refrigerator and drink a shot glass full, you know. That's more than probably they've eaten for breakfast for the last 10 years because they're on their own. or they might, you know, have a bite of a piece of toast and coffee, and that's actually getting absolutely no nutrition. So definitely this is something that can be expanded way further, you know, just getting into the right people's hands.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Well, Robin and Tori, we've come to the end of the show. I'd like to share a little more where the company is going and how people could find out more information about the product. Because I think, you know, Robin, you could share about your story, how people could find out really that it is okay to start standing up, which is, I'm probably, they see me come and they know they got, you know, they're like, oh, Lord, you know, but that's okay, that's okay. You know, and because that's so important. And then also, Tori, you know, where you see your product going so that the listeners can say, I've heard it some, you know, the purpose of the radio show is to say, I've heard it somewhere. Someone told me something. Or, oh, that word just turned over in my vocabulary or somewhere, something. I heard it 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I heard it on the radio. Saw it on the internet, wherever it is.
Sure,
you know, and it
absolutely.
Comes back
yeah,
up.
I mean,
it comes up in your consciousness again.
Being your own advocate or having a friend or a family member kind of make a pact that if something happens to you and you end up being unable to advocate for yourself, that someone knows your wishes, number one. Number two, there's, you know, something that I think a lot of patients are made to feel is they have to take the directives given to them by the medical profession, doctors and nurses, et cetera. But, you know, that's not true. There's something called Patient's Bill of Rights. And I think I even have that, a copy of it in my book. Everyone should know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone should know that if they're not happy with the medical care they're receiving or the medical care is going against their wishes, you know, you have a right to ask for a different doctor. You know, basically, you
right.
can fire your doctor. The doctor is working for you. You're certainly not, you know, not vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just having the ability, knowledge is power, to understand your rights as a patient. And then also, if you're not strong enough, some people aren't cut out to take on,
mm-hmm.
you know, a face-to-face with a doctor. They just don't want to do it. But have someone in your, whether it's a family member or a loved one, you know, be there for you if possible. And then, you know, the other thing where we're going, and I'll let Tori speak to this as well, my intention when I started this, going down the road of commercializing this, and once, especially this is billable through insurance, when used for a feeding tube, it
mm-hmm.
is billable through insurance, which was huge. And that was a
yeah.
game changer for our company. And but my goal was to change the face of clinical nutrition and offer something that I felt was a healthier product to patients. And we've done that. You know, when we first started, I remember the first FENSE conference we went to, which was Registered Dietetic Association annual conference. Many
mm-hmm.
people, many RDs, they had no clue what we were doing. I was told many times, you can't give real food to a patient through a feeding tube. You can actually harm them,
correct.
Which was very foreign to me because the history, if you research history of feeding tube, that's, you know, 50, 60 years ago, all hospitals and long-term care facilities made their own food for their patients. Then, you know, we took the direction of going down to a formula created by pharmaceutical companies that could hang 24 hours without going rancid, you know, nothing even close
mm-hmm.
to food. So I will say that we've made a huge mark now when we go to the many conferences. I would say 75%, if not more, of the medical practitioners who visit us either know about our product or have patients on our product.
And I think that's so vitally important. And also, too, I have come across this many times, and is where they say patient's right, and then once the patient gets into the hospital and is given a drug at a certain level, in a certain tier, they're no longer able to advocate for themselves.
Absolutely.
They really do need somebody else to do that. Because then it's considered, well, we've given them the drug and kind of they can't, quote, trust the you know, the patient knows in their best interest, because they may have given them a high level pain medicine or something like that.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
Many times people don't realize that. They say, well, I'm the patient, but we've just given you a drug. You're really not a patient anymore. And you just want to go, oh, you know. And then also the idea of this is that when you have an advocate, it's pretty tough. You've got to have a lot of ironclad things in place. Who are you? What is your space in here? Because a lot of times you will be shut out of that process. So it's pretty, it's a tough.
Yeah, in writing.
Yeah. And so, Tori, can you share a little bit where the products will be going and how they could find out more information about the products? That would be great.
Sure. So you can find, more about the product by visiting us on the web. We're at www.functionalformularies.com. Or, in Google, you can type in Liquid Hope, and our page should pop up there in the search results. So functionalformularies.com. You can also call our offices to place your order for Liquid Hope. As Robin mentioned, we offer a free insurance advocacy service because, sometimes, too, when patients are in the hospital, there's so much going on with that family in terms of medical care that insurance reimbursement and coverage is a unique maze to figure out as well. So we're happy to be able to provide a service where customers can freely receive our help in getting coverage for their Liquid Hope. So we're happy to do that as well, and that information can also be found online at functionalformularies.com.
And I think that's very important because talk about hurdles. You've got a hurdle for everything from getting a walker to getting, your bed linens changed to being able, as you say, to be able to get the right food. It is a real tough haul when you've got to be proactive 100% of the time. So the service that you offer is really very vitally important, I think, along with giving the product, you're able to be able to have that service. So I think that's really a great asset.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much both for joining us today. I think it's really great for you to come on the show because as we, more and more people are into this, everybody says, oh, there's going to be so many more people over the elderly age now. Well, I'm almost 60, so I guess I'm there too. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think it's important for people to hear things so that when something does come up, they're not thrown into this quandary of, oh, I'm just going to let them do it, kind of step back and just let things fall where they may, and then it just doesn't work out and then everybody's got a problem with that. Well,
absolutely.
You really have to be proactive, I think, in these days.
Right. Well, thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity. It was lovely chatting with you, and I hope that we can stay in contact.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Robin. Thank you so much, Tori, for joining us today.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information about Robin Gentry McGee, who's founder and CEO of Functional Formularies, and Tori Haltas, which is the Nutrition Communications Specialist for Functional Formularies, please do check out their website. The link is on the bottom of today's show page. And please, if you have someone that is needing care, you must speak up. It has really gotten to the point where Dr. Welby days are over. There's nobody, Dr. Welby might see you fall in the grocery store, and he'll say, come to my office, I saw you fall, and I can help you, and bring your mother with you so she can drive you home. Those days are over. It's really about learning how to take care of yourself, speak up, stand up. If you're not getting what you need, you really need to find yourself an advocate. And as Robin has said, and as I have said many times, please do seek out advocate help. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. check the link on the bottom of today's show page. Or visit www.drjeanettewellness.com to schedule a phone appointment today with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.